Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Tes Vav. I was not here yesterday, I apologize about that, but I guess we'll pick up again from Yud Dalet Amud Beis, about 5 lines from the bottom of the page. So what we're trying to accomplish right now, the entire daf Yud Dalet, was about one topic, and that was trying to show how the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. What sheet of Rabbi Yehuda we're aligning the Mishnah on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph with, because the Mishnah, or actually the statement of Rav about the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph said that if a person shechts on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, so obviously you chayv misa for shechting on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but shechita so ksheira, the shechita is still going to be a kashra shechita. So the Gemara had a statement in the name of Rav, Amar Rav Huna, Darish Chia Bar Rav, Mishmei de Rav, that asura b'achilul yoma, that even though the shechita is going to be a kashra shechita when it's shechted on Shabbos Yom Kippur, but you're not allowed to eat it that entire day. So the Gemara was trying. So the Gemara said, "V'nas v'chavrei l'meimer Rabbi Yudahi," that everyone was saying, "Oh, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to eat it the entire day." So they're trying to figure out what sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Where in Shas do we have a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that lines up with this idea that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, that you're not going to be able to eat it for that entire day, for the remainder of Shabbos? So up to this point, we had two or three different possibilities, depending how you count, of which sheet of Rabbi Yehuda we're lining it up with. So we'll do possibility number, we'll call it number 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Sheish Red Rav Yidi Rabbi Yehuda Din Neiros Hi. It is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Neiros that aligns with the statement about our Mishnah that it's usher to eat from that shechita for the remainder of Shabbos. Why? What does Rabbi Yehuda say by Neiros? Titania. We have a brisa metatl in ner chadash avalo yashin div Rabbi Yehuda, that it's you're allowed to move, you're allowed to move a new candle but not an old candle on Shabbos, because the old candle is considered to be muktzah, but a new candle is not considered to be muktzah. Rashi explains ner chadash means a ner that was never lit, shelo adliku bo meolam, ner shel cheres, and the assumption of a ner that we're talking about is made out of cheres. When it's new, you could do anything with it. You don't have to use it as a candle. You could use it as a fruit basket. You could use it for anything. The ner, of course, is referring to the kli that would hold the oil. So it could be a very large kli that could hold a good significant amount of oil, but it hasn't yet been used. So it's just a pottery bowl. It's a bowl made out of cheres. So if it's a ner chadash, it's not a problem of muktzah. But if it's yashan, then it's a problem of muktzah. And Rashi explains, the muktzahu machmas mius. It's muktzah machmas mius. It's disgusting. Shadas katzabo v'hach behemanami k'shakidu sheyomu muktzah machmas sefer menachai shalom nishchata. And that's the parallel to our Mishnah, that when it's a Ner Yashin, you've already put oil in it. And Cheres is impossible to clean out once oil has been put in it and it's been used to light with oil. It's impossible to ever clean it out fully, so it's always going to be gross. It's always going to be disgusting. So you're Maksim Midaito. You never have a Havamina of using it for anything else, because it's disgusting. And that's the parallel to the Shechita, to the case of Shechita. When you shecht an animal on Shabbos, so prior to Shabbos, the animal was alive. So it was considered muktzah. It was considered something that was out of your mind to possibly be able to use for Shabbos, because it was a live animal. It would have been Eivir Min HaChai. So the Gemara says, so you see that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that it would be considered muktzah. Maybe the animal that you shecht on Shabbos would also be considered muktzah, so you're not allowed to eat it until after Shabbos. That's the Rabbi Yehuda that we're talking about. Says the Gemara, no, Eimer Shamlel Rabbi Yehuda Muktzah Machmas Mius. Muktzah Machmas Isu Mishamlel. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds by Muktzah Machmas Mius that it's going to be also to be metaltal, that you're not going to be allowed to move it all of Shabbos. Do you find that Rabbi Yehuda holds Muktzah Machmas Isur, that the reason that you had said it out of your mind that you're not going to use it on Shabbos was not because it was disgusting, but because it was Asur? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold strongly about that as well? Maybe he holds a Muktzah Machmas Mius, that if it's disgusting and therefore you completely put it out of your mind, it's something you want to have nothing to do with. But Muktzah Machmas Isur, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is not so strong about it. So says Gemara, we do find that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muktzah Machmas Isra as well. The time Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kal Neru Shal Matechas Metaltalin Chutz Min HaNer Shedlika Bo Ba'Osa Shabbos. that all neros made out of metal, you are allowed to be metal to them, because even if they get dirty, you can clean them up, and they are usable again, unless you lit that ner on Shabbos. That Shabbos, if that ner was lit that Shabbos, then it was mutzah machmas iser, because it was already used for a candle that Shabbos, and you're not allowed to handle flames on Shabbos. So it's not an issue of mius, it's an issue of iser. So that's the so Rabbi Yehuda does in fact hold not only of muksa machmas mius, but muksa machmas iser as well. So we're back to saying maybe this is the source. This is the Rabbi Yehuda that would say that shechita is aser for that the animal that you shecht on Shabbos is aser for that entire day. Says Gemara v'dilma shani hasam du dochi lebiadayim, but maybe that's different because you were dochi lebiadayim when you lit that candle on Shabbos or before Shabbos. You were saying that I don't want to use this candle for the rest of Shabbos. But by the behema, it was Aver Menachai. It was a live animal before Shabbos. You didn't make it a live animal before Shabbos. It was born that way. It is a live animal, but it's not something that you would doche be a dime. So that's an interesting concept, that in terms of in the world of muktza, something is more muktza if you specifically designated it to not be used for Shabbos. You specifically made it so that it could not be used for Shabbos, rather than something that on its own simply could not be used for Shabbos. The animal on its own could not be used for Shabbos. The candle, if you lit it before Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, to continue to be lit on Shabbos, you were mekatza biyadayim. That's a much stronger form of muktza. Now the Gemara had a havamina at one point over here that Rabbi Yehuda only holds of muktza machmas mius, not muktza machmas iser. The clear implication being that muktza machmas mius is a stronger iser than muktza machmas. It's a stronger form of muktza than muktza machmas iser. That's what it sounds like from the fact that you could have such a havamina that Rabbi Yehuda would only hold of muktza machmas mius, not muktza machmas iser. If you look at Tosos, he says duchiyu ba'al mahu. Truth is, he says, there never was such a Havamina. When the Gemara just says, you know, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds only of Muksa Machmas Mius, not of Muksa Machmas Isser, maybe the Gemara was just being Docha, but there was never really a legitimate Havamina to that extent, because we know the Halacha is the opposite. He says, Muksa Machmas Isser is more Chamer than Muksa Machmas Mius is. So the Kaman Amar Ad Kan Lo Shari Reb Meir El Bim Vashel, Avol Shochei Deinu Roi Lach. We're going to see soon that Rav Meir maybe holds a certain shita about cooking something on Shabbos, because raw meat you could at least chew on, but when you shecht an animal on Shabbos, it's not ra'ui to even chew on. So we find that shechita is a stronger form of mukta, because you couldn't do anything with it beforehand. So what you see from the conversation we're going to have later on in today's daf is that Rameir definitely holds a mukta machmas iser, and yet he doesn't hold of muktza machmas mius. So what does that tell you? Which is the stronger form of muktza? Muktza machmas iser is the stronger form of muktza. So how could our Gemara have a havamina that Rabbi Yehuda would only hold of muktza machmas mius and not muktza machmas iser? It must be that our Gemara is not being serious. It's just a dichuya ba'alma. That's Tosis' conclusion. That's where we see that Rameir does not hold of muktza machmas mius, does hold of muktza machmas iser. Question is, what's the havamina? What's the havamina to say that you'd be machmir more by muktza machmas mius? Meaning Tosis just sort of rejects it. Says Dichuya Bialma, there never really is such a Havamina, no one would ever, but the Gemara does have it as a Havamina. The Gemara says maybe Rabbi Yehuda's only worried about Muktza by Muktza Machmas Mius, not by Muktza Machmas Isser. So it's nice to say the Gemara didn't really mean it, but the Gemara said it. So what is the Havamina? So the Shar Mitzvah Balach explains, maybe based on the Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos Mem Dalid, with the Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos of Mem Dalid, going on Rabbi Yehuda, who asks Muktza Machmas Mius, explains that because it's so ma'us, you can't use it for anything else other than a candle. I mean, if you have a ner shel cheres, that's mius, it's been used before, you can't use it for anything else other than to light. And on Shabbos, you can't even use it to light. So it has no value whatsoever as a kli for the entire Shabbos. If it has no value whatsoever as a kli, it should have a din of Eitzim V'Avana B'Alma. It should be like stones. It should be like sticks. It has no value as a kli. The halacha is, by Eitzim V'Avanim, you're not even allowed to be metal to them, L'tzorach Gufan, L'tzorach Mekoman. That's the chumra of Eitzim V'Avanim. Even if you need, you need the space that they're taking up, you're not allowed to be metal to Eitzim V'Avanim. So based on that, says the Shar Mitzvah B'Alacha, maybe we could understand the Hava Mina to be more machmir by Muktzah Machmas Mius than we are by Muktzah Machmas Iser, because the Muktzah Machmas Mius, because of the because it has no value whatsoever, you're not even allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach gufo mekomo. Whereas Muktzah Machmas Iser, you are allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach gufo mekomo. So maybe that's the Havamina. But at the end of the day, we say, no, even Muktzah Machmas Mius does have Torah's Kli alav. It's still considered a Kli, and therefore that too could be Mitaltel L'Tzorach Gufo L'Tzorach Mekomo. But that perhaps is the Hava Mina. Now, we said that when we tried to demonstrate that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muktzah Machmas Iser, so how did the Gemara demonstrate that? By showing that Ner Shel Mateches, which has nothing to do with Mius, it's not Mius at all, you're allowed to be Metaltel, except for if it was lit on that Shabbos. So you see, clearly, that's a Muktzah Machmas Iser thing. Why is Ner Shel Mateches not a Mius issue at all? So Rashi explains on the top, the Shel Machos Lomi Isi, Afilu Yishenim, Kogon Shel Nechoshes Yichoyot, metal never gets disgusting, even if it's made out of even if it's been used already. Metal doesn't get disgusting; it's always cleanable. You can clean it out well, and therefore it's not going to be mius. Now, this is quoted by the Turin in Hilchos Chanukah in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Gimel. He quotes from the Ram Rutenberg, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Ram Rutenberg would be makbid by Ner Chanukah to not light a Ner Shel Cheres as part of the Hidur Mitzvah, that it shouldn't be something that's maus. That if he would use a Ner Shel Cheres, he would change the Ner every single night. We would never use it twice. We never use the same Ner Shel Cheres a second time, because that's considered Mius. But Shel Matechos, when it comes to metal, you don't need a new one each and every night. So that's actually Paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Ayin Gimel, Si'if Gimel, that in Hilchos Chanukah, this idea that Ner Shel Cheres you're not going to reuse, and Ner Shel Matechos you will reuse. But bottom line, where we are right now in the Gemara is that the third or fourth, depending how you're counting, explanation of which Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Rav was aligning our Mishnah with is rejected. So we're still looking for, where do we find the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, that it's going to be mutter to eat that animal, just not on Shabbos, that it's also for the entire day of Shabbos. So says Gemara, last chance. Ella am Ravashi, Rabbi Yehuda de Mevashalhi. It's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in regards to when something is cooked on Shabbos. To Tanan, we have a Mishnah that says as follows: Hamavashal b'Shabbos. This is a Mishnah in several places in Shas. Obviously in Shabbos, but also in Ksuvis and many other places in Shas. A person Mavashal b'Shabbos b'Shogeg. If he cooks b'Shogeg Yochal, then you can eat it. B'Mezid lo Yochal. If you cook b'Mezid, you can't eat it. Div Remeir. That's Remeir Shita. Now notice, Remeir doesn't seem to make any distinctions. He just says Shogeg Mezid. That's the only distinction he makes. He doesn't make a distinction between lo and la acherim, between the person himself who did the malacha eating it versus other people eating who did not do the malacha. He doesn't mention Kidei Sheyasu. He doesn't mention the idea of waiting after Shabbos until the point that it would have taken to do that malacha. Doesn't seem to mention any sort of chilukim. So the Rishonim already debate what chilukim he holds of and which ones he doesn't hold of. Let's see the other shitas. But Rameir holds pashup shat, you cook on Shabbos, b'shogeg, eat it, b'mezid, no one eats it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg yochal b'motzai Shabbos, b'mezid. Right, another thing that Rameir also doesn't seem to distinguish between Shabbos and Motzai Shabbos, whether it's only us that day or later. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shogeg, if you cook b'shogeg, yochal Motzai Shabbos. Then it could be eaten on Motzai Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. B'mezid lo yochal lamis. If it was cooked b'mezid, then you're never allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, Mishogeg yochel motzai Shabbos lacherim v'lo lo, v'meizel lo yochel lomis lo lo v'lo lacherim. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, so he brings in all the distinctions. He talks about the difference between Shabbos and motzai Shabbos, the difference between lo and lacherim. He's the only one that's explicit about everything. That bishogeg, if you cooked bishogeg on Shabbos, you could eat it motzai Shabbos, but not you, only other people. The person who cooked cannot eat it motzai Shabbos, but other people can. And if you cook b'mezer on Shabbos, nobody's allowed to eat it forever. Lo yochal lo v'lo lacherim. Nobody's allowed to eat it. So a couple of important things over here. Rashi fills in, we'll at least go to Shitas Rashi over here, just to explain each of the Shitas. So again, Rameir's Shita was you cook on Shabbos, the shogeg, you can eat it. What does that mean? You can eat it. Who can eat it? When can it be eaten? So says Rashi, the second skinny line, yochal hu atzmo ubo bayom. The guy himself, means it could be eaten completely. The guy himself who cooked it could eat it even on that day, even on Shabbos. You don't even have to wait till the amount of time after Shabbos that it would take to cook it. Because the whole requirement of B'kadesh Yasu, Rameir thinks, is only when a Jew does a melacha b'mezid. That's when we have a chiv to make sure that you don't get any hana from the fact that an isra was done. Rameir is a remarkable shita that even if an isra was done, since it was an isser done b'shogeg, we're not worried about you getting hana'ah from that isser, and therefore you're even allowed to eat it on Shabbos. The most makel sheet you could possibly have about being vashel b'shogeg, the guy himself who did it can eat it, and he could even eat it on Shabbos. B'mezid Rameir held, though, right, what did Rameir say? B'mezid that lo yochal. All he said is he can't eat it. So what does it mean you can't eat it? Who can't eat it, and for how long can't it be eaten? So if you look at Rashi Vayter, b'mezid dika yisur lo yochal bo b'yom at shetechshach u'b'kdesh yasu. You can't eat it for Shabbos until b'kdesh yasu, till the amount of time it takes to cook it after Shabbos. V'adin la'achirim nami da'asur l'michli bo b'yom, d'taym mishum d'lom nimti ha'anah me'isurahu. What's the reason that you're not allowed to eat it that day? We don't want you to get hana'ah from an issur that was done b'mezid. So who's not allowed to get hana'ah from an issur that was done b'mezid? Nobody's allowed to get hana'ah from an issur that was done b'mezid. It has nothing to do with, because you did the issur, you're not allowed to get hana'ah. Nobody, no Jew is allowed to get hana'ah from an issur that was done by a Jew, b'mezid. So therefore, the way Rashi understands Rameir, is that the issur la'achirim, when we say b'mezid lo yochal, first of all, it's limited. It only means you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos and for the few minutes after Shabbos that it would have taken to cook it. But in terms of for who, it's for everybody. It's lo and la'acherim. So, v'chishay lort, v'kdesh yasu lo matu la'anaminei, if you were to just wait a few minutes after Shabbos, then nobody's getting any anah from the fact that it was done on Shabbos because it could have been done after Shabbos. The reason Rameir makes it sound like it's only about you, the person who cooked it, was because the reisha was talking about the person who cooked it is even allowed to eat it on Shabbos, but the truth is, it's about Acherim also, that Rameir makes no distinction between Lo and La'acherim. His distinctions are between Shogeg and Mezid, obviously, and the distinction between Shogeg and Mezid is in the world of, can you eat it on Shabbos, or do you have to eat it after Shabbos? That he distinguishes between, but he never, nothing's Aser forever, according to Rameir. And then Rabbi Yehuda gave a little more detail. Rabbi Yehuda said that if it was done to Shogeg, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. You can only eat it on Motzai Shabbos. And B'mezid forever. B'mezid, the Isser remains forever. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, again, gave the gave even more detail. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said that B'shogeg, it could be eaten Motzai Shabbos for other people, but not for himself. B'mezid, it can never be eaten olamis. Why could it never be eaten forever if it was b'mezid? So Rashi points out, this is not a knas. How do I know it's not a knas? Because it's lo and la'acherim. A knas, to make a knas on somebody, that's when somebody does an aveira, you make a knas on the person who does an aveira. We're dealing with a guy who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos, so he's the one that deserves a knas. Why does everybody else get the knas for what this guy did? So Rashi points out that this is a drasha. The Gemara in Baba Kama, the Gemara in Ksuvus, darshans it from Psukim, that if you cook b'mezid b'Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, no one's ever allowed to get any arnav from him. the Shmartim Mr. Shabbos Ki Kodesh, and the Gemara Darshan's Ma Kodesh Asur Bachila, Af Meister Shabbos Asurim Bachila. Just like Kodesh is Asur Bachila, so to Meister Shabbos is Asur Bachila, if it was done b'mezid. So those are the three basic shitas. By chametz she'avra lav haPesach, we have a knas that a cherim can't eat either. If a person, it's an issur drabbanan al chametz she'avra lav haPesach, if one Jew owns it, another Jew is not allowed to have it. It's a good question. Why don't you have a knas over there? It's a knas la cherim. The Gemara must discuss it. I don't remember the sugya as well. I don't know. Okay, so we said over here, b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. There's a major discussion in the Rishonim exactly what the Gedarim are. Let's keep it simple. Let's stick with Rashi. So anyway, so what did we say? Our Mishnah, or the statement of Rav about our Mishnah, that when you shecht on Shabbos, it's us to eat that day, that aligns perfectly with Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that b'shogeg yochel b'motzai Shabbos. B'shogeg you can eat it on Motzai Shabbos, which means you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. That's exactly like our Mishnah. You shecht on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. You got to eat it on Motzai Shabbos. So obviously we're assuming that our Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg. So says the Gemara, v'nukma b'mezid v'rabbi Meir, how do you know that our Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg? Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case where you shechted it on Shabbos b'mezid, and that's what you have to wait till Motzai Shabbos, and that's going exactly like the shita of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir's shita was that if you're mevashel on Shabbos b'shogeg, you could even eat it on Shabbos, but b'mezid you have to wait till Motzai Shabbos. So it's exactly like Rabbi Meir if you assume our Mishnah is talking about a case of mezid. So it says Gemara lo salkadai tuchtani dumya deyom kippurim. Keep in mind, our Mishnah said not just if you shecht on Shabbos. If you shecht on Shabbos or Yom HaKippurim, the Mishnah said shechita also k'sheva. So my Yom HaKippurim lo shana b'shogeg v'lo shana b'mezid lo achil. So now by Yom Kippur, it doesn't matter if you shecht on b'shogeg, b'mezid, whatever, you're not allowed to eat it that day, for sure, because it's Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat anything that day. So just like by Yom Kippur, it doesn't make a difference whether it was shogeg or mezid. The halacha seems to be that you're not allowed to eat it. The halacha definitely is you're not allowed to eat it. Saf al-chanami lo shana b'shogeg, lo shana b'mezid lo achil. So the parallel by Shabbos has to be that it doesn't make a difference if it's Shabbos, if it's Shogeg or Mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, according to a mayor, if you do it b'mezid, if you shecht b'mezid, if you're mevashel b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat that throughout Shabbos. But if you're mevashel b'shogeg, you are allowed to eat on Shabbos. So that's why it doesn't line up with a mayor, because our Mishnah has to be a case where it doesn't matter if it was Shogeg or Mezid, you're for sure not allowed to have it on Shabbos. So frankly, Gemara, Mimas is Mukla b'shogeg. What, our Mishnah, you think it's talking about a case of Shogeg, Rabbi Yehuda, and going like Rabbi Yehuda, va'af al pishim schayiv b'nafsho kadani. The Mishnah said, if you shecht on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, even though you're chayiv with your life. Now, if you did it with shogeg, you're not chayiv with your life. So how could you say that it's talking about a case of shogeg? So it says, if you did it with shogeg, you're chayiv a carbon. You're not chayiv with your life. So it says, amar hachi kamar. What it means to say is, even though had it been done b'mezid, you would have been chayiv with your life. When you do b'shogeg, the shechita is going to be kasher. It's not. It's saying the act is something that is an act that one would be chayiv with their lives for, but not you because you didn't do b'mezid. So that's how we could say that it's talking about a case of shogeg, on like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara v'nukma k'Rabbi Yochanan sandu damar lo shem b'shogeg v'lo shem mezid lo achil. But still, how do you know it's going like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe it's going like Rabbi Yochanan sandler, who said that it doesn't make a difference if it's shogeg or mezid. Either way, you're not allowed to eat, and then you don't have to lock the mission in to shogeg or mezid. I mean, if you can say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, so then you have to say it's talking about shogeg. But if you're going to say that it's going like Rabbi Yochanan sandler, so then you don't have to lock anything in. Rabbi Yochanan sandler says b'shogeg yochel motzai shabbos acher v'lo b'mezid lo yochel olamis. So it says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan sandler kamaflig motzai shabbos acher v'lo lo. Because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, a Motzai Shabbos makes a distinction between the person who shechted it And by the way, when we say the person who shechted, it means not just him, but anyone who was shechted for also, anyone who was done in mind, that they shechted having in mind for. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandler makes such a distinction. Our Mishnah doesn't. Our Mishnah just says, if you shecht on Shabbos, shechitas ukshere. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, when he talks about cooking, talks about the difference between the guy who cooked it and the other people. But there's no such distinction made in our Mishnah. And therefore, we don't want to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Period. So that is so we stick with Rabbi Yehuda. So after all these attempts, the four attempts to figure out which sheet of Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you shecht on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have it for the remainder of Shabbos, we stick with the idea that it's this Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda about the case of Hamavashel. Now the Gemara's suggestion that let's say it's going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Rashi says not to say that it could be going Shogeg or Mezid, that it would dafka be talking about Shogeg. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds b'shogeg it's asr until Motzai Shabbos. Because if you say mezid Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, mezid Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds it's asr forever. Now we wanted to say that the Mishnah is saying it's going to be mutter. It's mutter to eat, just not that day. So it's got to dafka be the shogeg Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Beis Halevi writes in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Tes Zayin that this could help resolve machlokas rishonim. That there's a this is a raya to what the Yamshel Shlomo writes in Baba Kama, that according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Yom Kippur, the Maisi Yom Kippur is also just like on Shabbos. That which you do on Melacha and Yom Kippur is going to be also the same as Shabbos. Because if you say like the Rosh in Siman Vav over there, that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would be Moda, then Maisi Yom Kippurim is Mutter. So why would we ask, let's say it's going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, what do you mean? The whole Havmina to say it's going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is assuming that it would be Asr Baba Yom, would be Asr that entire day. But if you say like the Rosh, who holds that Maisi Yom Kippurim, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler would say is totally Mutter, then you can't say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler if you can understand our Mishnah to mean that it's going to be Aser for the entire day of Shabbos. So the Gemara seems like a very strong raya to the Shita of the Yamshel Shlomo against the Shita of the Rush. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter. Tani Tanaka made the Rav. Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochel b'mezid lo yochel. That he taught that if you cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it, b'mezid not allowed to eat it. So that was taught in front of Rav. Umashtikle Rav. Rav made the person be quiet. He said, stop saying that. You're not allowed to say that. So my time mashtikle, why did Rav shut the guy up? What did the guy do wrong? So ile mishum desfir like Rav Yehuda, v'tanatani Rav Meir. So it could be Rav held like Rav Yehuda, and here you have this guy publicly teaching like Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, really, that we close off all dialogue, and anyone who has a different opinion, automatically you have to quiet him down. Mishum desfir like Rav Yehuda, mandatani Rav Meir, mashtikle? Because you want to paskin like Rav Yehuda, anyone who paskins differently, you quiet him down. What kind of way of paskin halacha is that you don't even listen to the other tzad? Va'od, mi sava like Rav Yehuda? Furthermore, does Rav really hold like Rav Yehuda? From Rav Chanan Barami, ki mori luhu Rav l'talmidei, mori luhu Rav Meir. When Rav used to teach his talmidim, he would always teach them like Rabbi Meir. He would always pass them like Rabbi Meir to them. V'chi darsh b'pirka darsh Rabbi Yehuda. When he would darshin in the shir publicly, then he would darshin. He would teach them like Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum amei aretz, because of the amei aretz. This is something you have. Maritz Chayis points out. You have throughout Shas that there are certain things that the halach is a certain way, but we're afraid that if amei aretz get their hands on it, that they're going to be nichshal or they're going to be mezalzel. And therefore, in front of Amei Arts, we teach extra chumras. Now, it takes a certain amount of sensitivity and knowledge and intuition to know when teaching too many chumras is counterproductive, and when an Amei Arts needs to hear a kula so that he could feel like he could live up to the halacha, and when teaching a kula is counterproductive, and you need to teach the chumra. Maritz Chayis gives examples where we find that b'fnei Amei Arts, they have to dafka teach chumras in front of Amei Arts, because they're going to be mezalzel. This is Rav Moshe Shita with when Rabbi Eider wrote his book in Hilchos Shabbos. I think that was his first one in Hilchos Shabbos. And then Rav Moshe told him that the kulas should all be in the Hebrew footnotes. That the English part shouldn't have the kulas in it. The English part should only have the chumras, because there are certain kulas that b'fnei amei aretz you should at least be able to read Hebrew if you're gonna see the kulas. That you should at least be able to understand it in the original. Anyway, so the bottom line is the Gemara says, how can you tell me that Rav quieted down anyone who said like Reb Meir because Rav disagreed with Reb Meir. No, Rav paskin for his own talmidim like Reb Meir. It's just that when he was darish bepirka in public, he paskin like Reb Yehuda. V'chite matana bepirka tana kamei atu kulei alma v'tana tzaisi lamorit tzaisi. Well, if you're going to say that the guy that Rav quieted down, it's because he was teaching publicly like Reb Meir, when everyone just listens to everything the Tanaim are saying, that everything that's being said in the Beis Medrash, of your Tana and Amor doesn't mean what Tana and Amor normally means. Tana means when people are just learning together, and Amor is when someone gets up and publicly says something. Some Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tana Shochet Tana Kamei De Rav Hashochet B'Shabbos B'Shogi Yochal B'Meizel Lo Yochal. So the point was, the reason why Rav quieted him down was that the person was saying, in a case of Shochet, not in the case of Mevashel, in the case of Shochet, that if you shecht on Shabbos B'Shogig, you're allowed to eat it, B'Meizel do not allowed to eat it, which seems to align perfectly with Rav Meir's Shita about Mevashel, but Rav held there's a big distinction to be made between Shochet and Mevashel. Amalei, my daitech, why are you saying that B'Shogig it's okay, B'Meizel not okay? Rav Meir, because you're passing like Rav Meir. Ad kan lo kashay Rav Meir. When did Rav Meir allow if you did something b'shogeg, did a malach b'shogeg? El b'mevashel. That's only if you cook b'shogeg, because it's not muktza. The right lachos before the meat was cooked, at least you could have chewed on it. Meaning you can't. It's not edible, but it's right. It's ain't a right lachila, but it's at least something that could have gotten something out of it. You could have chewed on it. Avol shochet den right lachos. So you cannot chew on a live animal. It's not going to work out so well for you. So so therefore, that which has been unshechted previously is way more muktza than that which has been uncooked previously. So Rav Meir is going to be makel with it when you were mevashel b'shogeg, but that's only by mevashel, not if you're going to be shochet b'shogeg. That's why Rav was mashtik, the one that said the one that said like Rav Meir. Now, what is the halacha actually like Rav Meir or not like Rav Meir? So Tosfos writes over here, Mor Luk Rav Meir, mash mashken halacha. The fact that Rav would teach privately like Rav Meir to his talmidim sounds like the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Tosfos is bothered because there seems to be a stira. There seems to be other places where we don't say that way, but Tosfos clearly says it seems that the halacha would be like Rav Meir. The Rif and the Ran and the Ramban and the Rashba, many other poskim all say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Mishum dinefishi gabon amei haaretz. Because we have so many amaratzim around that you have to pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Unbelievably, the Bir Agra writes that anan chashivi b'nei Torah, we're considered b'nei Torah, and therefore we can pass like Rabbi Meir. Unbelievable. The Shulchan Aruch says, no, we have too many amaratzim, and we can't. And the rule the Gemara sets down, you can only pass like Rabbi Meir for Talmidei Chachamim, but for Amaratzim, you have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gra, no, we're all B'nai Torah, don't worry about it. So the Netziv in Hamek Sheila writes that you can't say like this Gra, Psak HaGaonim HaShulchan Aruch Torah, we have to follow Psak HaGaonim HaShulchan Aruch. In Mishra Bruri, he says, B'makom HaTzorech, you could be Mekel and be Somech on the Divrei Agra, B'bishul B'shogeg. That if someone was Mevashel B'shogeg, you could be Somech on the sheet of the Gra, who holds that you could pass in Aruch B'Yehuda, because we're all B'nai Torah. Which is an unbelievable statement, to be Somech on the sheet of the Gra, against the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and all of these Rishonim, who all assume that we're not B'nai Torah, all assume that we have too many Amaratzim to pass in that way. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. V'hamas nisin d'shochetu, v'am ravuna darashkiya barav mishmei d'rav asuru b'achil liyoma, v'nasun chaveraya l'meimer Rabbi Yehudahi, HaRabbi Meir Shari. Wait a second. How can Rav make this distinction by saying that we're only going to paskin like Rabbi Meir by a case of Bishul, but not by a case of Shochet, that by a case of Shochet, even Rabbi Meir would be moda to Rabbi, even Rabbi Meir would be moda to Rabbi Yehuda. But wait a second. In our Mishnah, we had a case of Shochet, right? We had a case of Shochet in our Mishnah, and what did the Gemara make a big deal of saying? That even according to Rav, especially that Rav said that it's going to be usur for eating that day in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which makes it sound like Rabbi Meir would hold it's mutter to eat that day. But Rav is the guy who just told us that Rabbi Meir would be moda by a case of Shochet, where he wasn't even ready to chew before, that Rabbi Meir would be moda, that it's going to be usur by a case of Shochet. So how come we have to say our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe our mission could be going like Rabbi Meir also. The implication of saying it's going like Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Meir would be matir. Says Mar, no, Kishari Rabbi Meir, Kigon shaylo cholam ibod yom. When is Rav Meir matir? Only when it was when there was a cholam ibod yom, and therefore it wasn't totally muktza. There was a cholish yishpat sakani. You were thinking of the possibility you might have to shuck this animal anyway. Iachi might have it Rabbi Yehuda dasu. Then why would Rabbi Yehuda hold dasu? It's not muktza. You know you're going to need to. You might need to use this animal. Gon shaylo cholam vehivri. No, because the case is the guy was sick, but then the guy got better on Shabbos, so then it became muktzah again. Chiyadam Ravach Baradam Rav Armi Lam Rabbi Yitzchak Baradam Rav Hashochel Chol B'Shabbos Aser Lebari. If a person shechts for a sick person on Shabbos, it's aser for a healthy person to eat from that meat. Hamavashal Chol B'Shabbos Mutter Lebari. But if you cook for a chol on Shabbos, it's mutter for a sick person, for a healthy person to eat from it. My taima, what's the difference? Why when you shecht for a sick person, is a healthy person not allowed to eat from it, but if you cook for a sick person, a healthy person is allowed to eat from it? Either way, shouldn't it have been muktzah for the healthy person? Says Mara, hai roi lachus, vai ein roi lachus. Now, the muktzah of a live animal is a much stronger form of muktzah than raw meat. Raw meat you could chew on beforehand, so it's a lesser form of muktzah. Live animals you cannot chew on beforehand, therefore it's a much stronger form of muktzah. Amar Rav Papa, Pamish HaShochin Mutter. Sometimes, even if you shechted, it's mutter. Gon Shailo Cholam Ibaod Yom. Like a case where you had someone who's sick beforehand. And Mevashal Asr, sometimes when you cook on Shabbos, it's going to be Asr. Gon Shekatat Slo Dela'as. Rashi explains, we'll stay out of the Machlokas Rashi tells here, but Rashi explains, we're talking about a case where you had a gourd that was Mechubal Karka beforehand, before Shabbos, and therefore it's an Isra of Muktzah because it was Mechubar Bein HaShmashos. That's how Rashi understands. So Amar Rav Dimin Arda, Hilchsa Shochet L'chol B'Shabbos Mutter L'bari B'umtza. That if a person shechts for a chola on Shabbos, it's mutter for a healthy person to chew on it. My time, Kivan di'i efshal l'gzayis basar below shchita, ki chashachet adaita d'chol kashachet. And the reason is that if you need a gzayis of meat for a sick person, and all you have is a live animal, so there's no way you could shecht just a gzayis of meat. You're shechting an entire animal that has a whole lot of kezesim of meat. So, but clearly you're doing that shechita for the sick person. And therefore we don't have to be gozer. Oh, you might do more shechita if we allow a healthy person to eat from it. No one's doing more shechita. One shechita is for sure going to be enough. So there's no need to make any sort of gezeros. But a mevasha l'chol b'Shabbos asu l'bari. If you cook for a chol on Shabbos, then it's going to be asur for a healthy person. Gezeros shemiyarba b'shvilo. Not because of a muksa issue, but because of a gzera. We're afraid that if you allow healthy people to eat from that which was cooked for a sick person on Shabbos, then you're going to end up cooking more for healthy people as well. And because of that, we don't allow the case of Bishul, we allow the case of Shochet. Okay, now new Mishnah, back to Hilchos Shechita, back to what you're, the very technical, basic dinim of Hilchos Shechita. What are you allowed to use and what are you not allowed to use for Shechita? So says Mishnah, HaShochet b'magal yad b'tzur b'kana Shechita sokshera. If you shecht with a magal yad, Rashi says what's unique about a magal yad is that it has two sides. One side of the knife is smooth, like a Shechita knife, the other side is ridged. So you're allowed to use the smooth side for Shechita. The Shechita is going to be kosher if you use the smooth side. Tzur is a smooth rock. Kun is a smooth reed. So the shkit is kosher. Hakol shochtin, uliolam shochtin, ubakol shochtin. Let's leave out the hakol and the uliolam. The Gemara will get to what that's about. But you're allowed to shecht with anything, chutz mi magal katsir, except for a magal katsir which has pegimos that all face in one direction, vamagira and a magira which has pegimos that all face down, vahashinayim and vatziporen and teeth and that are still attached to the animal and the tziporen and nails mipnei shem chonkin, because those things they choke. Rashi says the tziporen doesn't choke if it's very smooth; it's not going to be chonek. So the mipnei shem chonkin is going on anything that has a pegima in it. Anything that has a pegima, you're not allowed to use because it doesn't cut smoothly. It's the pegam that will, the pegima will catch on the animal, and that's going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, Shochet Yevin L'Chadchil Lo. Sounds like the first list of items in the Mishnah, that if you shecht with its kasher, that's only b'diavad, but not l'chadchila. Bishlam Magdi Adam Asilmav B'dachisa. I understand the knife that has two sides, one that's smooth, one that's ridged. I understand l'chadchila you shouldn't do it because we're afraid you might use the wrong side. But why can't you use a smooth rock or a smooth reed? It doesn't have any other side. There's no reason not to use even l'chadchila. Or a mini. It says b'feresh you're allowed to use it. So lo kasha. Kan betalish kan b'mechuber. Big difference if it's talish min akarka or mechuber l'karka. If it's detached, you're allowed to use it l'chadchila. If it's still attached to the ground, l'chadchila, you're not allowed to use it. Damar Rav Kana, shochit b'mechuber l'karka, Rebbe posel Rebbe Chia makshir. Rebbe says posel, Rebbe Chia says kosher. Ad kalom kamakshir Rebbe Chia l'bidyevel l'chadchila lo. And even Rebbe Chia says kosher, that's only b'dyeved. But l'chadchila, you're definitely not allowed to use it. So our mission is going like Rebbe Chia, saying that it's kosher, but still only b'dyeved. So b'mayi came to Rabbi Chiya the Eved. He said our mission is going like Rabbi Chiya and only talking about the Eved. Ela had the Tanya b'kol shochli be'im talish be'im mechub be'in shasakin l'malav etzaver be'im l'mata. Whether the knife is on top and the animal's neck is below be'in shasakin l'mata etzaver be'im l'malo or vice versa. So money lo Rabbi lo Rabbi Chiya. Who's that going like? That's going neither like Rabbi nor Rabbi Chiya. Because e Rabbi Chiya de'aved in l'chadchila lo. Rabbi Chiya would only hold it's okay be'di Eved that you're not allowed to do l'chadchila. And over there it says l'chadchila. And e Rabbi de'aved amilo. And Rebbe would say that even b'dyeved you're not allowed to do it. So who's the one that says that you're allowed to do the l'chadchila? The only two shittas we know of are either kasher b'dyeved or pasul. So who's the one that says it's kasher l'chadchila? So li'olam Rabbi Chiya v'afil l'chadchila. Now really it's Rabbi Chiya that's talking about l'chadchila. V'haid kamifugi b'dyeved lo diach l'kocha de Rebbe. The reason that they argue in a case in our Mishnah where you did it b'dyeved, whether it's kasher or not, is to tell you just how strong Rebbe is that even b'dyeved Yevet, Rabbi is going to say it's possible. But really, Rabbi Chiya holds even the chachila, it's kosher. It's not only b'dyeved the kedin that it's going to be kosher. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Mitzvah.